Would you turn with me to the second of our two readings this evening, to Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that walk wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him that for them that feared the Lord and them that thought upon his name. And so on. We have here two very contrasting Three, in fact, very contrasting types of talk and conversation. And we're going to look at each one of them in their turn tonight as the basis of our study. But to begin with, I want us simply to think of the way in which the beginning, right at the very beginning of our Bibles, we have recorded for us that God spoke and God created the world that we now have. At that time, perfect, sin came in and spoiled it. But it was created by God speaking a word. And in a sense, we create an atmosphere round about us and extending from us by the words that we use and speak every day. We create impressions. We create attitudes. We influence attitudes. We can tip the balance for or against one side or other of an argument by words that are spoken. We know it, we see it in debates, we know it and see it in Parliament. We can even take it down to our own personal level and speak of it in our own experiences. By our words, we send out ripples that affect other people. It is occurring with ordinary, everyday business in this world. But particularly it is applicable also in spiritual things. When we talk of and when we speak of our Lord, and the way in which we talk of and speak of our God creates an impression in the minds of those that hear us and see us. And how important it is, therefore, the way we speak and what we say. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do and by the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithful or true. Just what is the gospel according to you? Words are very important for us then. And I want us to think tonight of these conversations that are recorded for us in this part of Scripture that we've read. Words are sometimes, we think they're just lost in the atmosphere once they're spoken, but Matthew 12 again tells us that every idle word is caught up by God and it's retained by God against our name and record. Words are important. They're precious. They're solemn. They can be hurting. They can be helpful. They can give an indication of our own hearts. They can be an influence for good. They certainly will be indicted in judgment against us. Words that we find here in this chapter. Malachi, just to indicate the way he uses, the method he uses to bring God's word to us. His method is quite simply a kind of an argument. First thing that Malachi does is he lays a charge. He lays a charge against God's people. And then he immediately flips over and he puts himself in their position. He changes sides, as it were, and he anticipates the kind of answers that they might give. He lays a charge against them and he immediately says and puts their words on his lips and he says, what? Me? I don't know what you're talking about, Malachi. Me? I'm not guilty. And then having, as it were, anticipated the answers along these kind of lines, he then flips back again and he uses the opportunity that has come his way by this method. He uses the opportunity that he's created to bring the details against God's people. Whenever they say, "What, me?" Yes, you. And for this reason. That's what he's doing in this chapter. That's the way, that's the way he teaches these people, and it's good for us to understand that method. So what's he doing here? In verse 13, "Your words have been stout or hard against me, says the Lord. Yet you say," there's his method, "yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you?" And then he flips back again and he says, "You've said it's vain to serve God." So the first conversation and the first talking that I want us to think of in this study and in these verses is the talk of the town. What is the talk of the town? The people were saying hard things against God. What did we say? And then it comes back, the answer. It is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances? You see, it's so easy to put people off. Life for these people in the days of Malachi, they weren't easy days. God was dealing with them. They had difficulties, big difficulties, real difficulties, difficulties that went right to the core of individual and national life. But instead of asking themselves the question, why are these things come to us? And instead of engaging in a spiritual assessment before God, instead of sitting down and speaking to God and asking, "Lord, what are you saying to me? Why are these things happening?" These people, instead of doing that kind of exercise, they just simply turned around and they complained against God. The talk of the town. Hard things said about God. It is sometimes, oftentimes, difficult to understand God's ways of dealing with us. Sometimes when we're going through difficulties, people will just come up to us and they'll quote a passage like Romans 8, "All things work together for good." And sometimes these words don't really get down inside and meet the problem we've got. There isn't a sympathy or an empathy with us in using these words. They can be just simply spoken, but little feeling going with them. We are not any Christian, every Christian, none of us are exempt from calamities. But what God requires of us is that in the reality of our faith and honestly before him, we are to come before God in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our problems, whatever they might stack up to be. We are to come before God and pour out our hearts, leave our problems before him, humbly bowing before him, being brought low to be sure, being brought low and standing speechless before his providences. They may be hard upon us and our hearts might be crying out for relief and respite. Under these difficulties, our lives might be hurting badly. But in faith the Christian reserves judgment. We put a hand to our mouth and we be silent. We will not speak against God. Even although there are many things in our lives that might provoke us, so to speak. But in Malachi's day, it was different. There were people in Malachi's day who just simply jumped to conclusions because of the assessment they made on their lives. They jumped to conclusions about God's ways. Whenever there was a hint of trouble, whenever things didn't go exactly the way they expected them or they wanted them to go, whenever there was a little ripple on the pond of their life, immediately these conclusions were reached. It's a vain thing to serve God. What's the profit in going down God's way? God doesn't keep His word. God is harsh in His dealings with us. God's ways seem to be so unjust. You get the drift of the hard words that they were saying against God. We've mourned. What's the point? Pointing the finger at God and saying it's no profit to follow Him. The talk of the town. Hard words against God. Hard words. Maybe they weren't said all that publicly. Yes, the talk of the town, but not the talk in the town. Sometimes when we're hard words against God, we're not just openly saying it to everybody that's round about us. We keep it a little bitty to ourselves and to our own private company. Maybe within a family circle. Maybe within just a close friend circle. Maybe even just under our breath. But God hears and God knows. The talk of the town. It's a conversation, and it's a talk that has an echo with us today. It's not spoken by people out there on the street. This is the talk of the town among God's people. That's the people that Malachi was addressing. People who were familiar with religious things. You remember in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, where is the promise of His coming? Now there we have very similar attitude to the one in Malachi here. God had sent His Son. His Son had died upon a cross. His Son was raised from the dead. His Son was exalted in glory. And there were tremendous promises given by the time Peter gives to us that letter. Time had passed. There were tremendous promises associated with Jesus Christ and His return to gather together His people and to bring in a new age wherein there was righteousness and Jerusalem, wherein there was perfection and holiness. And it wasn't coming. And it wasn't coming. And so there were people that were saying, where is the promise of His coming then? Hard talk, the talk of the town today. You talk about Jesus Christ. Very well, show me Him. Then I'll believe. The talk of the town. Or again, you can go to another passage of Scripture, to Psalm 73. And there you have the psalmist wearing his heart on his sleeve, and he tells us about the way in which he felt when he looked out and assessed his society of his day. He saw certain people that were getting on, they were rich, they were well-to-do, and they had no problems in life. And when he looked at himself, he saw all the problems that were there, and he says, have I washed my hands in innocence? Have I cleansed my heart in vain? Have I done all these things? For what purpose? You find the echo even here in Psalm 73. It was only when he went into God's house that that kind of thinking was corrected. He was on the verge of being toppled over into the kind of thinking that Malachi gives us here. He was on the verge of losing his balance. He was on the verge of hard words against God. But then, I think it's in verse 18 of Psalm 73, the balance is turned. Until I went into God's house, then I understood. When he went into God's house, he saw people in their true perspective and on their true scale. And although there was a tremendous imbalance in his assessment at that time, although he saw people having a fair journey and a quiet passage through life, and his was the exact opposite, he nevertheless saw beyond, and he saw that there were things that were yet to come, where all of that imbalance was turned right round, and those that were now in plain sailing were heading to a fearful storm to confront God's holiness with no protection. Whereas he, seeking to be true and honest to God, living a Christian life, and all the problems that it brought upon him as he lived now, there is a day coming when there is a rest to the people of God. There is a day coming when all of these things that trouble us and disturb us as Christians, the things that disturb us about sin, the things that cause us sorrow and anxiety, there is a day coming when that will be past. And we will enter into our rest. But today, people can look only at things today. And people will say, well, if that's what it means to follow the Lord, if that's what it means to follow the Lord, none of it. Hard thoughts about God. Where is all this promise of peace? Where's all this promise of perfection? Where are all these things that you're speaking about, you're holding out? Where are they? Hard thoughts about God. Not just in Malachi's day, but in ours today. That kind of thinking arises. It arises very simply because we forget the future. We forget the future. Paul speaks and says, if you're only, in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, if you're only looking at the Christian in the light of this world's living, if that's the time frame that you're using, then indeed the Christian is to be pitied. But Paul doesn't stop there, because he's saying, wait a minute, you've got to consider the future. You've got to extend your picture. And when you extend your picture, just like we saw in Psalm 73, so in 1 Corinthians 15, when you extend the picture, then you begin to realize the compensation, the glory that awaits. There's a restoration of balance. Hard conversation just doesn't enter in anymore. We can get hard talking when we forget to look at the full picture. But also, there can be these hard talkings when we're not complete and absolute in our obedience to God. You see, these people here in Malachi's day, they thought, well, if we go through a certain ritual, if we go and give the sacrifices every day and the special ones that come along from time to time, if we give what God requires as far as outward ritual and habit is concerned from our life, we're always there in our place of the sacrifice to be made. We're always there whenever the priest calls us to pray. We're always there. Yes. But where is our heart? Where is the heart? Because that's what the Lord looks for. He unzips our life and he looks inside. It's not so much concern of the outward things that God is interested in. It's what happens inside that he's looking for. And so often, if we simply limit our obedience to the outward performance of things, traditional Christianity or habitual Christianity, then we will inevitably end up with these hard thoughts, because our hearts aren't engaged with God. But when we do engage with God, when we commit ourselves fully and totally to Him, then we will find, yes, troubles come to us day after day. But with the gift of faith, we're able to look at them and understand them. Drawing on His grace, we're able to go through them. And we're able to see what's waiting for us on the other side. The talk of the town. Hard talk. But the second thing that I want us to think out of these verses, not only the talk of the town, I want us to think now of the talk of the church. Then, and that little word in verse 16 is important, then, in the context, in the background, at the same time as all these things were happening, the church did something. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. What a difference we have here in the words, in the behavior of two groups of people. The danger was there in society of these people influencing the Christian people. The danger there of these formal Christians influencing this little group that loved the Lord and feared Him. The danger was real, and therefore to counteract that danger, what did they do? They met and they spoke one to another. The talk of the town is countered by the talk of the church. Three simple things that are told us here about these people. First of all, their attitude. Then they that feared the Lord. They trusted and they relied upon Him. They loved the Lord. Their greatest concern was to obey Him and especially to please Him. They worshipped Him with their whole being. O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is. That type of total commitment of Psalm 103. The Lord God was alive to them. A living God and Savior. Real to them day after day that they related to and they lived for. So that when people saw these people, the talk of the church, a small group met in a little place, perhaps. Just a little home or a little building. There they met. But the one thing that was concluded about their life, the one thing that all the rest of the talk of the town people could say is, God's alive to these ones. God's real to them. There was the realization that God is the living and the true God. Something that's lost from our society today. The fear of God doesn't operate anymore with us. Whenever you say something about God's word or God's requirements, whenever you say something about hell or being saved or judgment or condemnation, people just walk by you. It's like water off a duck's back. It doesn't bother people today. Because why? Because this fear of God is no longer in our society. It's a healthy influence amongst us. Go back to an example I've quoted oftentimes in the book of Joshua. There was a man called Hiel, and he started to do something. He started to build up the walls of Jericho. There was a curse pronounced against the rebuilding of that wall, and anyone who engaged in it was going to suffer dire consequences. And it was left for generation after generation until this man came. And he was obviously coming out of a society where there was no fear of God. And this was a man who was prepared to take God on. Well, I'm going to build the walls. And I'm going to try it, and let's see just what happens. That attitude of fear of God wasn't there. Missing. Prepared to take God on over Jericho. Today we have it translated into our own day. Today people are prepared to take God on over His own day. Something's very contemporary with ourselves. Caledonian McBrain and they're sailing on Sunday. Prepared to take God on. Prepare to take God on over many things that He draws a line in the sand and says quite clearly, that is the line and don't step over it. A man comes up to the line and staring God in the face, he puts his foot across the line. Preparing to take God on. The fear of God that's missing amongst us today. The attitude amongst these people, they that feared the Lord. First thing then, their attitude. Second thing, their actions. They that feared the Lord spake often, one to another. There were other people, the talk of the town were saying hard things about God. Does God care? Does this matter? The Lord was on trial. The Lord's reputation was at risk amongst that society. People were pulling down and tearing up the name of the Lord. And so we find these people says, no, it's not going to be like that. They speak from the heart over how the Lord had helped their lives. And they gave encouragement one to another and to the others who were perhaps weakening or flagging as Christians. Somebody who's perhaps been through the mill. Perhaps somebody who's been through great conviction of sin. Perhaps somebody who's been really face to face with their own life, with the awfulness of the way they've lived. And they've been down there in conviction for a long time. And then somebody comes and speaks and brings a word of scripture just to hear it said. Just to hear what someone else believes. Just to hear it being talked about, what that has done for someone. The forgiveness and the pardon that they've got through God's word. The action of these people speaking, talking about the Lord. We do indeed need to ask about each other's good and well-being. We need indeed to find out how we're all getting on in life. But we must soon let the conversation turn to spiritual things and speak about the Lord, of what He has done for us and what He can do for others. Remember what was said in Deuteronomy chapter 6. There God is telling the people how they are to behave with God's word. And God says to them, you're to take it with you everywhere you go in your house. You're to have it here and have it there. You're to talk about it as you're walking along the road, as you're talking in your family. Have it as a common element in your daily domestic life. Speak about it. What they did. Their attitude, their action, and then their association. What did they do but they met together? They spake often one to another. There was all this conversation going on, the talk of the town in the marketplace. And now they sought out some people that were healthy and wholesome in their conversation. They wanted the delightful company of like-minded people for mutual support and help. When somebody is down, when a Christian is bumping along the bottom, it is so good for someone else to come alongside and to share thoughts and to help each other. Hebrews 10 tells us to do just that. To encourage each other while we are looking for the coming of the Lord. We read there in Luke chapter 2 of the way in which Simeon and Anna, old as they were waiting for the and expecting the promises of the Lord to be fulfilled. Christian fervor and Christian things were at a low pass then. But they met, and they stayed, and they waited in the temple until the Lord Christ appeared. Now, what do you think they were doing? What do you think that they were doing? They met together. And they talked about the promises that they were waiting to be fulfilled. The talk of the church, gathering together in a spirit of reverence and regard to please God, not craven fear, but a great delight to please Him, to talk of what He has done and what He means to them, to counter the talk of the town. So we've got the talk of the town, yes, we've got the talk of the church. The third element of talking and conversation we've got here is later on, "And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts." The talk of the town, the talk of the church, surely here we have the talk from heaven. We have here the divine recognition that God gives to them. They sought to reverse this harsh talk of the town. They sought to strengthen each other, to build each other up in the faith. And the Lord heard it. The Lord noticed it. These were a little crowd that met in a little corner, and they could have been dismissed by the society of the day, just the same as we tonight might be dismissed by the rest of Fort William. What are they? They're just a few that gather in a church. People won't pay tuppence to us or give notice of us. But God does. We are all before Him, open to His gaze. And every word that's spoken is noted and weighed, valued and preserved. And God is not ashamed of His people. Those that quietly follow the Lord, when God gathers His people together, God will not be ashamed of this one or that one. He will say, "They are mine. They are my peculiar treasure." And the emphasis on the Hebrew comes in that word, "They are mine." Precious. The divine recognition that's given and the scroll of remembrance that was written. They're not written in an annual report. They're not written down in a news story. They're not put upon a church log or a church roll. But these are people's names who are contemplated by God Himself, never to be forgotten. What an encouragement to any small group or party this is. Whenever people laugh at us cynically, whenever people put harsh questions or difficult thoughts before us, whenever we ourselves struggle to understand what's going on round about us, God says, "You're mine, and I will have you with myself." Nothing, but nothing in heaven or on earth will stop or frustrate that purpose. The scroll of remembrance is written, and there is a lasting division and distinction brought in. They are His people, and He will spare them. As a man spares his son that serves him. Remember what we were saying earlier on about the talk of the town? They were saying, "Well, there's no difference, is there? There's no difference between serving the Lord and not serving the Lord. What's the advantage then in serving the Lord? Let's just get on with life as we have it. There's no difference. There's no distinction." And now here's Malachi saying, "Wait a minute, yes there is. They shall be mine when I make up my jewels. They shall be mine on the day of judgment. And that judgment has started already. It's there seen in embryonic form, in the words that you speak. What is your conversation about? What is the nature of it? Is it a conversation that respects, regards, loves, and trusts, and follows the Lord? Or is it a conversation that is heavy with hard thoughts about Him? There's the judgment already begun. The beginning of a distinction that can only get wider as time goes on until eventually it's set in concrete on the day of judgment. The challenge to ourselves. The challenge to ourselves as to what side of the line we might be on. And especially the way in which words can be so instrumental and crucial in that determination of the line we're on. The Lord sees, the Lord knows, and the Lord hears. We are all of us exposed to unhealthy influences day after day. We're all living in a society that is hostile to God. We find it difficult sometimes to understand what God is doing round about us and in ourselves. Sometimes we find life is hard and the load is heavy. And therefore we need to encourage each other. We need to help each other. Because there's all of this conversation, the talk of the town is not new. It's there round about us. And we hear echoes of it day after day. And how important it is that together, as a congregation, as a people, we help each other. We strengthen each other by talking of the Lord, by seeking to fear Him, follow Him, and trust Him. We fear the Lord, and we seek only to please Him. These are the things the Lord notices. These are the things that are important and crucial and decisive. The talk of the town is but the background. The important thing is, what is our relationship with God? Because that's what it comes down to on the day of judgment. And if we love Him and fear Him, then we need not only to encourage each other, but to be encouraged by each other, so that the Lord is pleased to be amongst us and to bless us. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. Do we fear Him and think upon His name? Let us pray. Gracious Lord and God, we come before Thee again this night with Thy word in our ears and upon our soul, confronting us, challenging us. And we ask of Thee, O Lord, that Thy word might be brought with powerful application to bear upon us, and that we might, from all that we've heard from Thyself this day, that we might think upon it in quiet moments and times in the week to come, and that Thou wouldst give further light upon these things and upon our lives. And we ask especially, O Lord of God, that Thou wouldst deal with us in grace, and that Thou wouldst forgive us our sins especially, in the holy privileges given to us today. Forgive us, O Lord, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close tonight then by singing in Psalm 46. Psalm 46 and at verse 8, "Come and behold what wondrous works have by the Lord been wrought. Come, see what desolations He on the earth hath brought. And to the ends of all the earth, wart and to peace he turns, the bow he breaks, the spear he cuts, and fire the chariot burns. Be still and know that I am God. Among the heath, and I will be exalted, I on earth will be exalted high. Our God, who is the Lord of hosts, is still upon our side, the God of Jacob, our refuge, forever will abide.
The love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all.